Praise the Lord. Tonight we come to the evening session, message three. As you get out your outline, I just was reminded a few years back, actually more than a few, around 1990. How many of you were born in 1990? How many of you were alive in 1990? Wow, just a few of us, huh? In 1990, you know what happened? Around 1990, I can't remember if it was 89, 90, about that time, I was in my about second year of college, and that was the year that we had the very first college training in Southern California. And we had this college training in the meeting hall of the church in Fullerton. Is there anybody from Fullerton? Anybody from, praise the Lord, amen, Fullerton, good. You too, sister? You're from Fullerton? Wow, wonderful. I remember those days because in that training, there was about 12 to 15 brothers. And there was about double the number of sisters, yeah. So maybe 30 sisters, 15 brothers. There was less than 50 college students in all of Southern California at that time, who went to the college training. The Lord was beginning a new thing, starting to recover the college students, and starting the campus work. And so I just remember those days. We actually went to set up the bunk beds that we stayed in. Yeah. And then after the training, we took down the bunk beds that we stayed in, the brothers. Sisters didn't have to take down the bunk beds yet. But it was just a small, intimate group of us. And the reason I bring this up is I just want to encourage you. You might feel that this weekend, there's not that many of us. You know, last year, brother, and I went up north. Oh, man, it was rocking up there. It was 300 plus. Man, we just blew the roof off. Well, look at those cracks in this roof tonight. Yeah. The number doesn't really matter. What matters is that we have the presence of the Lord. Amen. What matters is that you have the Lord speaking to you. So I just want to encourage you. We had less than 50, but the Lord spoke to us. Many of those college students are still in the church life, are still pursuing the Lord. So I just want to give you that little word of encouragement. However many there are here, and actually I was thinking, you know what? We might have just about 120. Did you count the serving ones? Yeah. And 120 is a really significant number. Because in Acts, there was 120. And those 120, they turned the world upside down. Amen. So if the Lord just has 120 who are absolutely consecrated to Him, look out. I don't know what the Lord will do with you and with us. How about that? 120. So remember 2014 in Getty. There was 120. Amen. Let's just round it up. Yeah, look, 120. Because I like the number 120. And the Lord likes it too. Okay, so that's a little history for you. So the Lord has been going on year by year, gaining the college students, perfecting them, raising them up to function on the campuses. And again, what we see is we see that the Lord needs to have college students who have the proper humanity. And that's where we come to the outline tonight. Tonight's message will be very similar to message one. So you'll see some of the verses, same verses. Some of the points look identical almost to message one. Of course, Brother Craig's not here, so hopefully it'll be a little different because I'll be sharing. But many of the verses are similar, and we'll just speak the same thing. It's so good to speak the same thing as my brother. So what I wanted to do is to start out by just sharing with you three things about the humanity of Jesus before we come to the outline. The title, right, is The Humanity of Jesus. Humanity of Jesus. And I just wanted to try to describe it a little more to you, share with you why is it so important, and then lead us to where we are tonight. The first verse I wanted to give you is one of the favorite verses that we like to share, Genesis 1:26. When God created the whole universe, eventually on the sixth day, the peak of His creation was when God said, "Let us make man. Let us make man." If we really want to understand, what is humanity? What is humanity for? What's the purpose of humanity? You have to come to the beginning where man was created. In Genesis 1:26, as you all know, God said, "Let us make man. Let us make man." Oh, the word man is a sweet word in the Bible. I hope every time you see that word man, you will say, "Oh, I'm a man. I'm the meaning of the universe." Sisters, He didn't make you as a dolphin. I have four little girls, young girls, yeah. They really like dolphins. I don't know if your sisters like dolphins, yeah. I think a lot of sisters like dolphins. But God made man. He made you as a man. The dolphins can jump and do tricks and, oh, they're so, looks like such a nice life. But, oh, man's purpose is so much higher. So much higher. Man's purpose was to express God. That's why man was created in God's image, right? And then man's purpose also is to rule for God. So man was given God's dominion, to represent God. So we have image and dominion, right? Image and dominion, these two precious words. And I would just say this, humanity is the only created life that was given this purpose, to express God and to represent God. No other created life can do this. No other life can do this. Only humanity. This is the highest purpose. This is what all of creation was leading for. This is why there's a sun to take care of the earth. The earth with all the plants, the animals, just to support humanity. It's all for humanity. It's all for man. This is the center of all of God's creation. The heavens, the earth, and the spirit of man, right? From Zechariah 12:1. This is the center. And this is what God wants. He wants a man who would express Him and who would rule for Him. And we know the simple example of the glove and the hand, right? Have you all seen this? I hope you all have, yeah. If you haven't, I'll show you tonight. Glove and the hand. Man is made in God's image, just as the glove is made in the image of a hand, right? When you look at a glove, what do you think of? Yeah, why? Is that like a stretch or something? No, it's not a stretch, right? You don't say, foot. Or, knee. When you look at a glove, it's pretty obvious. I think all of us would agree. Yeah, you see a glove? Hand. Yeah. Now, let me ask you. When you see Zephaniah, when you see him, what do you think of? Do you? Man. Do you really? When we see man, we should think God. Amen. Have you thought this way? Wow, this might change the way I think about the brothers in the brother's house or the sisters. Oh, that I have to coordinate with. Oh, wow. When we see man, we should think God. Amen. Just like we see glove, yeah, we think hand, right? And when we see a man, we should think, we got to get God into them. Amen. Do you have God in you?
Yes.
Amen. Good, brother. I'm so glad you have God in you. Amen. Do your friends have God in them?
No, let's pray for them. And then let's go and tell them about God. How about it?
Amen.
Right? Because when we see your friends, they're like this too, right? They need God.
Amen.
When we see man, we should think God. Because man is made to contain God. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. So here's man. And man's made in God's image. What does that mean? That means that man is made according to what God is. What is God? Love, light, righteousness, holiness, right? All the positive attributes are all that God is. And those, you could say, are like the fingers. Love, light, righteousness, holiness. Last night we saw that God is patience. Patience. We need that. So these are all the things that God is. Man is made according to what God is. But you know what this is? This is a man who's a good man. Who's a good man? I wanted to read you a verse about a good man in the Bible. His name was Job. Job. J-O-B. How do you pronounce it? Job. I know it sounds like something else. Job 1:1. All right? Write down this verse. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright. And he feared God and turned away from evil. Oh, brothers and sisters, would you like to be this man? Yeah? Doesn't this sound good?
Yeah.
This man was perfect and upright. And he feared God and turned away from evil. And let me tell you, you know what? This was a good man. But this is as good as it gets for Job. This is as good as it gets. Any good man is just like this. A glove without the hand. Are you a good person? And this is a picture of you tonight. This is a picture of you. Made in God's image. Wow. Love, light, righteousness, holiness. But tell me a little bit about the power of those virtues. Are they strong? Are they uplifted? They're weak. They're limited. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that? Your love? How is your love? How long does your love last? Is your love, what's the word? Does your love depend on the situation? Or is your love unchanging? Wow. So this is the human being. This is a good man. This is a good man. Yeah. Then, of course, what happened? Sin came in. So we don't have good men anymore. What we have is we have men that were damaged. Yeah, so sin came in. So I got a glove. And I just put different things on it, just kind of marked it up. I'm not sure if I can. Yeah, I don't even want to put my hand in this glove here. But let me just maybe blow it up a little bit. I can blow it up. Not really, huh? Boy, this is a damaged glove. This is a fallen glove. Fallen glove. So it's marked up. It's got defects. It's got sin and. And on this side, I don't know if you can read, it's upside down. Yeah, I can turn it around there for you. So what does it express? Self, yeah. It expresses the self. So this is a fallen man. So my concern is this, is that I have some who they say, well, I'm not a bad man, not a fallen man. I'm a good man. I'm a good man. But let me ask you. Is there much difference between a fallen man who's damaged, has dirt all over them, full of the self, expresses, right, dark things, evil things, sinful things? But here's a good man. This good man expresses his good self, perfect and upright. He feared God and turned away from this other man, evil. Turned away. But I'd like to just share with you, dear brothers and sisters, none of these ones can fulfill God's purpose. None of these humanities can fulfill God's purpose. If you just say, you know what? I used to be bad, and now I'm good. I'm gonna reform myself. I heard the word, the Lord needs good humanity. So I'm just gonna turn over a new leaf. I know it's not January 1st, but it's okay. It's close to July 1st. Yeah. New leaf, half year turnover. Resolution. I'm gonna be a good man. I'd just like to tell you, you can never fulfill God's purpose as a good man. As a good man. So what does God want? God wants to come into this vessel, right? Into this man. This is what God wants. Isn't this good? I know it's so simple, we've seen it before, but it's so good. There's no comparison. Look at this. You've got the reality. You've got the real love, the real holiness, righteousness, light, patience, everything you need. There's a full expression. What kind of expression is this? Weak, right? Weak, limp. Not much expression of God there. But here there's a full expression of God. And then, think about this. Oh, when the enemy comes, what happens with this man who's filled with God, expressing God and all his virtues? What happens? Bam! A little bug comes around. Yeah. Right? Creeping thing. Excuse me? Boom! Creeping thing. What can this man, when the devil comes, when the enemy comes, what do they do? Yeah, there's no power there. How can you rule over the negative things without having God in you? So I hope you can see, just through this simple example, dear brothers and sisters, this is the humanity we're talking about. This is what God wants. This is what God needs on the earth. He needs young people created in his image, filled with him as life, right? You have to have him. If you don't have him, the best you are is a good man. A good man. Yeah, I'm not a bad person. I don't do bad things. I'm not full of myself. But there you are. Just a Job. Just a Job. If you consider this man who has God in him, this man can express God fully. This man can rule for God. Right? Let me say this. In this man, God has no limitation. God has full access. How much has God gotten into you? Maybe some of us, right? Maybe some of us were like, the sister gave me, before she gave me a large glove, she gave me a medium. Yeah. And my hand's not a medium hand. Yeah. So you can imagine it was very frustrating trying to put a large hand into a medium glove. Yeah. So what happens? Some of us, right? We just got the Lord in. Yeah. We got him in a little bit. Hi, Lord. Amen. He's in me. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So there's a little expression. There's a little dominion. But what happens? The more you let him in, the more you let him in more. Amen. This is Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may make his home in your hearts. I hope this weekend, all of us, would let him in a little bit more, right? Let him in a little more. When you let him in, what happens? There's more expression. There's more dominion, right? Let him in. Let him in. And even in the words from last night, eat him. Amen. Eat him, right? Take him in. Let him in. Take him in. This is how he gets in. You have to open your mouth, right? You have to open your being to him. Let him in more and more. Eventually, we will all look like this. Eventually, all of you college students, you will all look like this. This is your destiny, to be filled with God, to express him and represent him. And this, dear saints, this is the humanity that fulfills God's purpose. You see that? This is the humanity we're talking about. This is the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was such a man, right?
from his birth, from his conception. He was conceived of the Spirit, which is just God himself. Then, at his baptism, he was anointed with the Spirit, God upon him. So within, without the Spirit, he was just filled with God. So all of his living was just an expression of God. And in him, Satan had no chance, no possibility in anything, right? He ruled over the devil. The devil came to him, you remember? Right after his baptism. Actually, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Yeah. Before he would begin his ministry, he needed to go through a period of testing. Testing. We all have to pass through testing. We just had a good test up here. Good job, corporate. Good job, what was it, Blender? No, Meal offering. Yeah, we got some wonderful names of your groups. Yeah. Wow, I'm looking forward to Lowly. Amen. All right. Very good. We all pass through tests. But let me tell you, Jesus was the only one who passed the test with Satan. Satan asked him three things. Turn these loaves into bread. After 40 days, what would you do, brothers? Aren't you a little bit hungry? We can barely go 40 minutes. 4 hours, right? We need a meal. 40 days fasting. Enemy comes. Turn these loaves into bread. Right? Do something. Do something to feed yourself. Do something to take care of yourself. Don't you need bread? Right? But the Lord says, man. Man. There's that word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus, as a man, defeated the devil. He overcame him. How? Because of the Word. This is why we want you to get into the Word. When the devil comes, you need the Word. It's the Word that will save you. It's the Word that will supply you. The Word will strengthen you to overcome the temptations of the enemy. Then he says, okay, you overcame that one. Yeah, let's take you up to the temple. Just cast yourself down. You're the Son of God. The angels will bear you up. What's this? Temptation for a religious miracle. Religious miracle. Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be exciting if Jesus just said, amen, Lord, Father, catch me. And everybody saw it. Wow. It's amazing. Religious miracle. How many people out there today want to perform a religious miracle? Who's behind that? The devil. The devil wants you to perform a religious miracle. That was Satan that wanted him to do that. But again, the Lord speaks the word of God. Right? You shall not cast yourself off there, right? The angels will take care of him, yes, but I'm not gonna throw myself off there. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Then one more. All the glories of the world. He shows him all the glories of the world. And he says, just bow down to me, and I'll give it all to you. How many young people today have accepted this challenge of the enemy? I would say this. Every superstar, every quote star, music, movies, athletes, all of those people, what have they done? They bowed down. They gave themselves. They bowed down. They said, I will worship you if you will give me the glory of the world. That's anybody who's famous today, that's what they've done. They've bowed down to the devil. And if you do, he'll give you the glories of the world. But you know what? Those glories will last for a short time. Isn't it interesting how the different movie stars, pop stars, sports stars, they just cycle through, right? You're a young, a teen, heartthrob, and then they grew up, and where are they? You're done. Out of here. We don't need you anymore. You had your good years, and you're out. That's what the world does. The world exalts you, and then disposes of you. But Jesus as a man, he overcame the enemy. All three tests. He passed the test. Dear young people, the Lord Jesus can pass every test. You just need to eat him. You just need to receive him. Open your being to him. He will pass every test. Every temptation that comes your way. You finish college. You get an offer from Silicon Valley. 6 digits salary. Come. Full-time training? What? They don't even pay you over there. What will you do? It's so precious to see the young lives, right, that are poured out on the Lord, right? That don't follow this way. That don't follow this way of the world, of giving themselves to the world, but giving themselves to the Lord, right? This is what the Lord needs today. So this is the proper humanity. In Genesis 1:26, we see it. We see it in Matthew chapter 4. And then in Exodus 25, it tells us that the ark in the tabernacle was made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Acacia wood overlaid with gold. And we know that this ark is a type of Christ himself, right? Who is Christ? Christ is the one with the strong, uplifted humanity as the acacia wood. And he's overlaid with gold, the divinity. This is who Christ is. And interesting, you know what? The gold in the ark, it was overlaid within and without. Oh, this is so significant. Christ has the divinity within and without. He's conceived of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit, God's divinity, is his essence within. And then he's anointed with the Spirit in his baptism. So he's got gold outside, inside and outside. It's all gold. A matter of fact, it just looks like gold. But there's something so solid that's supporting that gold. And that's the humanity of Jesus. In Genesis 1, you see the need for humanity. And in Exodus, we see the proper humanity for God's building, for God's testimony. Would you like to be a part of God's testimony on the earth? Would you like to be a part of God's dwelling place, God's house? Because you see, what happens is the ark, it gets enlarged. And the tabernacle itself was made of the same material. So the ark is there in the Holy of Holies, acacia wood overlaid with gold. And then you have the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And what was supporting those curtains, right, the material that covered them, was these standing boards. In Exodus 25 is the ark, and Exodus 26 are the standing boards. And you know what those standing boards are? Acacia wood overlaid with gold. What does this mean? It means it's just the enlargement of the ark. This means that the church is just the enlargement of Christ. Oh, do you know who we are? We're the enlargement of Christ. We are the standing boards, acacia wood overlaid with gold. This is why your humanity is so important to God. This is why we need the humanity of Jesus in order to bear the glory of God. Surely the gold is most precious, right? The gold is what shines. But without that acacia wood, there's no way, there's no base, there's no support for the divinity to be expressed in God's house. This is so crucial to God. You say, oh, but isn't it just divinity? Isn't it just enjoying the Lord? Isn't it just saying hallelujah?
But what's the support to that? What's holding that up? You see, if we don't have the humanity, if you just have the gold, what happens? Gold is actually very soft metal. Yeah, it's a soft metal. It's malleable. You can bang it, you can bend it, you can shape it. Right? Didn't they make a golden calf? Yeah, whoops, that wasn't the right thing to do with the gold. Yeah. Gold is very soft, but acacia wood is one of the strongest woods. It's strong. It's uplifted. This signifies Christ's humanity. So let me just have these brothers right here. Could you brothers all in the front row, could you brothers all just stand up? Yeah, just imagine. These are the standing boards. Yeah, just stand. Just right here where you are. Just imagine. This is the Holy of Holies. And these are the standing boards. So these are the brothers who have been eating the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
They have that strong humanity. And then what happens? Then the Lord is overlaying them with gold. So you know, what do I see in here? All I see is gold.
Amen.
Brothers, you're shining.
Hallelujah.
I don't even see the wood. All I see is the gold. And if I'm in the Holy of Holies, where's the light? It's God's glory. So God's glory is reflecting off the gold. That's all that's there. In the Holy of Holies, it's just golden. It's God's glory expressed through all the golden, standing boards. But what's supporting that gold? The proper humanity.
Amen.
Oh, brothers, this is precious. Your humanity, the humanity that you build up, the humanity that you enjoy of the Lord in your daily life, that's the support for the gold. God wants gold, but he must have acacia wood to support that gold.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brothers. Very good example. Let me tell you a little bit more about gold. Did you know that gold is one of the most dense metals? Yeah, if you held a bar of gold, you would bend over. Gold is very dense. So what's my point? To have a board that's overlaid with gold, what does that mean? That means that that board has to bear tremendous weight. Tremendous weight. That means that the humanity of the brothers and sisters needs to be the humanity of Jesus. Can your humanity bear the weight of God's testimony? I know you're young now, and as we're young, we're learning, we're being trained. You saw in the last training, we're going through the dungeon. Like Joseph, he was in the dungeon for many years as a young man, gaining many experiences. But when the Lord brings you to a situation to bear some responsibility, and it's not just brothers, sisters, your future husband wants to serve the Lord, to bear the responsibility in the church, will you have the humanity that can bear the weight of God's testimony? The gold is heavy. To be God's expression on the earth, to be God's testimony. You know what will come? Attacks will come. Slandering will come. Evil speaking will come. Things will come. You say, it wasn't until I started to love the Lord, to desire to serve the Lord. Before, I never experienced this. Nobody ever said anything bad against me. Nobody ever criticized me. But if you would stand for God's testimony, you have to have that solid humanity of Jesus. So strong, able to bear God's testimony. Standing, not as cardboard. Can you imagine? Overlaying cardboard with gold, it's just going to buckle. Not even particle board. You know what that is, brothers? Particle board. You just take particles of wood and just kind of glue them all together. Particle board won't do it. Acacia wood, the fine, strong, uplifted humanity of Jesus is what can hold up God's testimony till the Lord comes. Through storms, through discouragement, through many things. We don't know what the future holds for us. But I know this, the humanity of Jesus can pass through. The humanity of Jesus. This is why we need the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus is the basic structure of God's building. God's building is not just divinity. We might have that thought. Oh yeah, I remember even in the message, he said the building, it's the mingling of God and man. Yeah, but you just read God. Mingling of God and man. God needs man. Yeah, he needs the humanity. We need to be mingled together, right? This is God's building. So I hope you would see this wonderful picture here. This is why God needs your humanity to stand. To stand. They're called standing boards. The Lord needs some in this age who would just stand. Who would just stand for Him, right? Many young people these days, right? Some movement comes up, something comes up. Oh yeah, everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Oh yeah, root for this candidate. Oh yeah, let's go for this cause. It's all right, all over the campuses, right? Wherever you go to school, almost every week, somebody's coming with some banner, some poster, some seminar to promote some cause, right? This thing, that thing, many things go on the college campus. But who would just stand for God's testimony, right? Stand with the proper humanity. So we need you. God needs you to stand. And you need Him because you need the proper humanity of Jesus, right? This is very crucial. Okay, then lastly, I'd just like to remind you in Leviticus 2. So Genesis 1, 26, Exodus 25 and 26, and then Leviticus 2. We've seen in the last few messages this matter of the meal offering. The meal offering. This is the humanity of Jesus, right? The humanity of Jesus. And what does the meal offering do? What is it for? The meal offering is to satisfy God and to satisfy man. This is why we need the proper humanity. This humanity is to feed God and to feed man. Have you ever thought that God is hungry? That God needs some food? Perhaps you never had that thought. Isn't God? God has everything. God doesn't need anything, right? He's omnipotent, omniscient. Every omni word we can think of. Yeah. Oh, he's all. He's all in all. He's all sufficient. But in Leviticus, we see that God's food was these offerings. The meal offering. And tomorrow night we'll see more how even in our Christian life and in our church life, we need to be the meal offering. We need to satisfy God with the meal offering. So the meal offering is to satisfy God, and it was also eaten by the priest. So it satisfies man, right? Christ is our food. Oh, He's so satisfying. When you eat Christ as a meal offering, aren't you satisfied? Amen. We sang that the hymn tonight, right? Feed me, Lord Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, isn't it so good? Fill all my hunger. Amen. Lord, you want to fill all my hunger. Lord, you know I still love sports. Lord, I just was wondering about the World Cup the other day. Lord, fill all my hunger. Amen. Sisters, oh, you know, Lord, I still love to shop. Lord, I was hoping that I could get back before the sale's over. Lord, fill all my hunger. Amen. Young people, do you believe that the Lord could fill all of your hunger? Your hunger for so many things. Yeah, we have necessities. Yeah, we should exercise. We need to live a long life for the Lord. Yeah, I need some shoes. May not need 30 pairs, but anyway. We need to take care of our physical life. We need to take care of ourselves. But the Lord, He wants to fill all of your hunger, all the things that we're searching for. We think, you know, I was the same way. I remember Big Five had a sale. And it was these Nikes, these high tops. And they were so cool back in the day. You know what they were? They had like, it was like a white shoe, but it had like red trim, and it had a black swoosh. Oh. I know, sisters, it's not attractive at all. Yeah. But brothers know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I got them. I thought, oh, if I just get those shoes, I will be happy. How long did that last, right? One day, a couple days. You feel a little special, right, when you go to your closet and you just, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, don't even put them on, but just to see them there, it just makes your heart feel good. Yeah. Right, sisters? To see this, just to see them, yeah, and then, you know, you come home and just kind of, oh, just, they're still there. Yeah, they're just waiting for that right occasion. Right? They'll just match perfectly. Yeah. Match perfectly with that outfit. You know, the belt. Yeah, the bag. And the shoes. Yeah, just, oh. But it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy, right? So many material things we pursue. And then as you get older, the things get bigger. More expensive. Yeah. Oh, come on, Mom and Dad. That iPhone 6. When's the release date? I can't wait. We thought it would make us happy. We ate. We drank. Remember in John 4, the Lord said, whoever drinks of this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, what happens? That water becomes within you a well of water gushing up unto eternal life. He says, we will never thirst. We will never thirst. You just, oh, dear young people, just keep eating him. Just keep drinking him. Wherever you are, right? San Diego, Vancouver, OCC, Lubbock, Texas. Yeah, wherever you may be. I know there's many from many places. LA. Yeah, I'm from Riverside. Wherever you are, just get together with the brothers and sisters and just enjoy him. Just enjoy him more. That's why we hunger for other things, because we didn't eat him enough. We're still hungry. We're still hungry. We need to eat him more. Eat him more. Then you won't thirst for so many other things. Okay. So these are just a few points. I hope you would take some notes here and consider these things. What the humanity of Jesus does. It fulfills God's purpose. It's the basic structure of God's testimony. And the humanity of Jesus satisfies God and man. This humanity is what God is looking for, is what God needs on the earth today. Now, in this message, we come to the humanity of Jesus in the four Gospels. And actually, don't worry, we can go quick. Because if you look at many of these points, Brother Craig shared on Tuesday night, and he shared many of these verses because they relate to the same points that we'll see. I just ask you this, message by message, I just ask you to be open, yeah, just continually be open. I know it's hard in such a training, every session, there's more speaking, you're like, oh, I'm full, whoa, brother, stop, yeah, but I just ask you, by the Lord's mercy, be open, so you can receive everything. We want to give you everything we can. And we want to give you every aspect of the humanity of Jesus. You might say, oh, I got it already. Oh, I really like that part, but I don't really like that part. Yeah. But take it all in. Take it all in. Last night, after I had dinner, I went over to the cooler. And I looked to see if there's anything left. And there was. In the cooler, there was the ice cream. But you know what is interesting? There was only one flavor left. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. There was only strawberry. So now I know. Yeah, if I ever get ice cream for you guys, it'll be vanilla or chocolate, right? Yeah. So there was only strawberry. So I said, amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for strawberry. Amen. Got a scoop of strawberry. What does this have to do with the message? When you receive the word, take it all. Take it all. Yeah. Take in all the flavors. You might really like that chocolate. There was a sister came up. She's like, oh, there's no more chocolate. Yeah. So she wanted chocolate. Yeah. But just take it all in. Every message. Yeah. Brother Craig's message, my message, next brother's message, whoever speaks, even in every session, you know, all of these really go together. You have to be in the cycle of life. You have to have morning revival, right? You have to be in the gospel, right? This is the way that you can enjoy more of the humanity of Jesus. You know, the humanity of Jesus, I can't help but saying this now. You know which gospel shows us more than any other the humanity of Jesus? Luke. Why? What is the subject of the gospel of Luke? Shows us the man Savior. Yeah. Remember, each gospel shows us one aspect of the Lord. Matthew, what is he? King Savior. Good. Mark? Luke? John? Excellent. So these are four aspects of the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, he's the man Savior. And this gospel that's on his humanity shows us many precious cases of the Lord Jesus as the man Savior. The man Savior. That means he has a burden for humanity. He's not just living his own humanity of Jesus. Look at me. But when you are enjoying the humanity of Jesus, you know what happens? You have compassion on your fellow man that you maybe never had before. You grew up in the church life. Yeah, you went to conferences, summer school of the truth. But you just never had any compassion, brothers. Yeah, look at those people going after the things in the world and they're just going to the lake of fire. But I know the high peak. I know the truth. God became man. Man may become God. Life and nature. And I'm becoming God in life and nature. Too bad for you. That's not the humanity of Jesus. Right? We might have knowledge. We might know things. We know so many verses. But do we have the humanity of Jesus? Do we have a concern for our fellow man? What about the students that you walk by? What about the students that the Lord put right next to you, right in your classes? Right? This is the man Savior. Oh, you know what happened? In Luke chapter 9, you know the story of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan. There was a man, right? He's going down on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he falls among robbers. These robbers, they beat him. They strip him until he's lying there half dead. This is what happened to all of us. We were all like this. We were beaten. We were stripped. And what happens? Very interesting. A priest walks by and he sees him. And he says, I think I'm going to go this way. He walks on the opposite side. A priest. That was a priest. It wasn't another robber, it was a priest. He just walked by. And then a Levite. Oh, a serving one. Surely a serving one's going to do something, right? The Levite. Oh, Lord, the Levites. The Levite walks by on the opposite side. And then a certain Samaritan. A certain Samaritan. Who is this certain Samaritan? The humanity of Jesus. Right? The Lord Jesus in his humanity. The man Savior. The man Savior. What does he do? He sees him. He sees him. The first thing, dear saints, is we have to see them. We have to see our friends. We have to see our relatives. We have to see man. We might not even see them. You say, oh yeah, there's thousands at UCSD. I walk by them all the time. But have you seen them? Have you seen them the way God sees them? Have you seen that when they tell you something, oh yeah, you're just studying together in the computer lab, and they say, yeah, my mom and dad, they got separated last weekend. You hear something. They share something. They open something to you. What is that? That's a wound. That's a wound. They were beaten. They were stripped. That little word they told you about. Oh, you know what? My grandmother passed away. That's a little word. And when you see them, what would you do? The humanity of Jesus is moved with compassion. And he came down to the man. He came down to where he was. He didn't say, get up. What are you doing? Come on. I'll give you a ride. He can't even get up. Yeah. But he goes down to where he is, right? He goes down to where he is. And what does he do? He pours in oil and wine. He pours in oil and wine. That's the oil from the meal offering. This is someone who's enjoyed Christ as the meal offering. So they have oil. They're not just enjoying oil for themselves, but they pour oil. They've enjoyed the Spirit of God so much that they have extra oil. So they pour oil on their wounds, and they pour in wine. What is wine? Wine is the divine life, the cheering life. Haven't you met some friends at school? They're just down. They're just depressed. They're just discouraged, right? We have signs on the campus I go to, and these signs say, depressed? Here's a phone number. I call this number. Depressed? Feeling helpless? Right? But you're there. You're with them. They text you. They send you emails. They let you know what's going on in their life. And if you've been enjoying the humanity of Jesus, you know just what they need. They might not even be open to you. They say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need religion. You say, you know what? It's not religion. It's just a wonderful person. And he loves you. He died for you. And he can be your comfort right at this time. You just speak something. I don't know what you'll speak. Whatever the Lord gives you to speak. But this is the humanity of Jesus. So all of these sessions, they're all related. When you enjoy the humanity, you're so burdened for the gospel, right? When you're in the cycle of life, what's happening? The Lord's growing in you. The Lord's spreading in you, right? You'll be eating, right? How do you grow in life? You got to eat, right? Through the eating, through the opening to the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, being in the light, this is the way that you will grow, right? So I just hope that you'll all be open to every message, right? Every message, you should be open to the Lord speaking. Now, we can go quickly here in Roman numeral 1. How about let's read it together? In the four Gospels, we see that the four elements of the meal offering were the components of Christ's life on earth and caused him to be the real meal offering. So, isn't it interesting? Four Gospels and four elements. Four Gospels and four elements. The fine flour, I was just considering, maybe we could say this. The fine flour we see in Luke, right? Luke, the man savior. Then the oil is the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is just God. So maybe we could say that's in John, right? Gospel of John, we see the oil. We see that this wonderful Savior is God. Then what else do we have? That's right. We have the salt. And what's the salt? The salt is the death of Christ. You know, in Mark, the Lord was the slave Savior. And he served us by going to the cross. He served us. You know how he served us? He served us with his life. He didn't just serve you for a few days. He didn't just serve you in certain aspects. He served. It says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This was the ultimate service. The ultimate service to give us his life. So this is the salt. And then maybe we could say in Matthew, we have the king. He's our resurrected king. Our resurrected king. This is the frankincense. The frankincense is the fragrance of his resurrection. So we have these four. Now, I'll just read letter A. As the fine flower, the Lord Jesus in his humanity is. This is what he is. One, fine. Fine. The Lord Jesus is fine. When he was feeding the 5,000, the Lord Jesus commanded the disciples to make all the people sit down by companies. To have such an orderly arrangement requires the proper humanity. Just imagine tonight, brother said, okay, you guys, it's dinner time. Come and get it. No lines tonight. Sisters would be like, oh, no. Right? Because the brothers are, yeah. Brothers are hungry. Clear the way. What a mess. Right? What a mess. God's way is always to have a good arrangement. Actually, isn't this God's economy? The word God's economy means his household arrangement for his dispensing. God always has an arrangement for his dispensing. Yeah. He said, sit down. Sit down in groups. Yeah. Small groups. In some of our localities, we have districts. Districts. It's a small group. What? That's good for dispensing and good for the function of all the members, right? This is orderly, an orderly arrangement. This is the Lord's way, right? He's always taking care of the arrangement. If we take the Lord's arrangement, you know what will happen? You will receive God's dispensing. If you take God's arrangement in your life, in your situation, in your environment, say, Lord, thank you for your arrangement. You will receive dispensing. If you reject his arrangement, you miss his dispensing. So God always has an arrangement, an orderly arrangement, and this shows his proper humanity. After they ate, what did he say? Hey, those scraps, they're biodegradable. Just leave them on the lawn. No, he didn't. In B, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus told the disciples to gather the pieces left over, that nothing be lost. There is nothing sloppy in his behavior. Nothing sloppy in his behavior. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. I believe we read through some of these verses again last time. Brother Craig, gather the broken pieces left over, that nothing may be lost. Do you like leftovers? You like leftovers? The Lord likes leftovers. Yeah. He took care of the leftovers. So the disciples probably could have a few meals. They probably enjoyed those on the road. They were traveling. Bread and fish. Bread and fish sandwiches. Fish tacos. Amen. Delicious. One other example I wanted to give you, you could write down this verse, John 20. 7 and 8. John 20, 7 and 8. And let me just read to you. This is the Lord Jesus. When you have his humanity, this will be you. This will be you, brothers. This will be me too. I'm looking forward to following the Lord. In John 20, what happened? Resurrection. Isn't resurrection awesome? Wouldn't you want to enjoy the power of resurrection? The stone rolled away from the door? Praise the Lord! Amen. What would you do if you resurrected? Boy, those garments, they would be in pieces. Right? I want to make sure everybody knew. I resurrected! Yeah, they would be shredded. Maybe there'd be some, maybe they'd be burned a little bit, right? Charred. There's smoke going up. You know, there's a trail going up to the Father. Jesus!
That's not the humanity of Jesus. That may be your divinity, the divinity you dream about, but the humanity of Jesus. Look at these verses. It's amazing. Simon Peter came, right? And they saw the linen cloths lying there. And the handkerchief, which had been over his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in one place apart. There was linen cloths, because he had been wrapped in linen cloths, so they were lying there. But what was really striking was the handkerchief that had been covering his face. It was folded up. Would you take time to fold up your handkerchief if you're resurrecting? Probably not. But this is the humanity of Jesus. Even in resurrection, he's still a man. In incarnation, he became a man. He had a human living. He died as a man. He resurrected as a man. And he ascended as a man. There's a man in the glory, right? Amen. We sang it tonight. He's still a man. It says when he comes again, he will be the Son of Man. You will see the Son of Man coming. God needs humanity to fulfill his purpose. And I never saw this before. Look at verse 8. So they saw the handkerchief folded up in one place apart. At that time, therefore, the other disciple also, right? The other disciples, it was two disciples, Peter and the other one, who came first to the tomb. He entered and he saw and he believed. What did he see? He saw the linen cloths and he saw the handkerchief. And he saw and he believed. Because he said, you know what? This is what Jesus does. They didn't steal his body. Robbers didn't take him. He always folds his handkerchief. This is a sign that Jesus was here. This is just what he does. We've been following him for 3.5 years. This is what he does. He saw the handkerchief and he believed. This is amazing. Oh, I love the Bible. Don't you love the Bible? This is our fine flower. Balanced. With Jesus, there was not only the growth in his physical life, but also the strengthening in his spirit. We saw these verses again the other night. In Luke 2, he grew in wisdom and stature, right? But also in grace, right? Before God and man. So his physical growth was also balanced with his spiritual growth. How about us? How about us? Many of you are growing physically, getting stronger, bigger. How about your spirit? Right? How about your spirit? You need the balance. When he was 12 years of age, he knew how to care for his father's will and yet at the same time be subject to his natural parents. This is always a challenge for us, right? We want to follow the Lord, go to the meetings, go to the conferences, and then we have our parents. Now, who may be in the church life, who may not be in the church life, who may understand, who may not understand, right? But we need the balance. We need the balance to care for both, right? Care for our Father's will and at the same time be subject to our natural parents. How do we do this? One of our sisters gave us a good pattern when she shared about coming to the training the other day, right? Remember that? What did she say? She said she just prayed. She prayed for her parents. Didn't want to let her go. She prayed for her parents. And she prayed with others. And she fellowshiped. Yeah. What to do? What decision to make? I don't know. So you just have to pray. Right? Pray. Pray that you would know how to be balanced. Right? Maybe they still aren't happy about it, but they would let you go. Right? This means you took care of your parents and you took care of your father. Right? So this is something that we really need the Lord's grace to learn this, to be balanced. To be balanced. Jesus as a child, letter C, found favor with both God and man. Whether the people rejected him or welcomed him, he was continually the same. No rejection could irritate or offend him. How do you all feel about rejection? Rejection. In Luke chapter 9,
I just printed out these verses. It says they did not receive him. He went to the village of the Samaritans, or he wanted to, and they did not receive him. This is one response. And seeing this, the disciples, James and John, said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? So when you're rejected, there's the fire. Lord, send the fire. What did the Lord say? But turning, he rebuked them and said, you do not know of what kind of spirit you are. What kind of spirit do we have? If we get rejected, do we have this kind of spirit? A judging spirit? Oh no, my spirit's wonderful. I love the Lord. But what kind of spirit? What kind of spirit? That's because what comes out of our spirit passes through our being. So our spirit may be pure, but it may pass through some impurities in our soul. So the Lord says, what kind of spirit do you have? The Lord, as a God-man, as a God-man, he was not bothered. You know what he said? He said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. The Lord wasn't bothered by being rejected. How we need his humanity. Huh? When we get rejected, what happened? Oh, that's it. Never going in the gospel again. Right? We're not balanced. We're not balanced. Right? We need the humanity of Jesus. We need what? We need that acacia wood. What? To stand. To stand in front of the table. To be a standing board. Yeah. Whether people accept, people reject, we still stand. This is the humanity of Jesus, right? I need it too. I need it too. Then he was tender. Some of the Lord's people are like a bruised reed, which cannot give a musical sound, while others are like smoking flax, which cannot produce a shining light. The Lord's humanity loves all the bruised and smoking ones. Isn't this precious? Bruised reeds. He used to use the reed, right, to make a little flute. When it got bruised, it wouldn't make a nice sound anymore. So they just break the reed. You can get another one. The flax, they would put it in oil and use it as a torch to burn in the night for the light. But then as the oil, less oil, it wasn't enough oil, it started to smoke. So when it started to smoke, what do? You just quench it. Put in water, quench it, get another one. But the Lord would not do this. This represents what? This represents people. This represents people, human beings that can't give a clear sound. That are, you talk to them and it's just, whoa, brother, kind of smoky. Yeah. They're not clear, right? You meet a sister. You say, oh, the sister, every time I talk to her, oh, she's always got another problem. She's always shares her problems with me. I don't want to talk to her anymore. Oh, that brother, man, that brother, he's always has problems. But the Lord would not break the bruised ones. The Lord would not quench the smoking ones. If we really are in the Lord's light, we realize, aren't we all the bruised ones? Right? Haven't we all been smoking flax at some time? Thank you, Lord, you didn't break me. Thank you, Lord, you didn't quench me. Lord, you still take care of me. We just need to continue to shepherd them, right? Shepherd them. Right before that verse in Matthew 12:20, I think that was one of the memory verses, right? We enjoy tonight. Right before that verse in 19, it's interesting. One other description of the Lord, and it says concerning the Lord. Let's see, am I in Matthew? Verse 19, yeah. Is it? Let's see, I just lost myself. 12, sorry, I was in 20. 12:19. Yeah, if you look at that verse, this is a description of the Lord. It says, he will not strive nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. This is a description of the Lord and his humanity. He will not strive nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. So he doesn't make a lot of noise. He doesn't make a big scene. The Lord's not this way. No, he doesn't strive, right, fighting, cry out, hey, I want to have my way. Let me do it. How about the places where we live? If someone walked by, did they hear any striving or crying out? Ah! Or would it just be peaceful? Right? This is the Lord. I was reminded a number of years ago, I was in the college training in Irvine. After Fullerton, we went to Irvine. And one day, the brother said, okay, we're going to go to UC Irvine to preach the gospel. So we're in the meeting hall on Culver. Is it Culver and Irvine Center Drive around there? And then we drove. So I drove in the car with some college brothers, you know, and we're praying. We're going to the UC Irvine. We're going down, I think we're going down Culver Drive. And just calling on the Lord, you know, exercising our spirit. And, you know, I feel bad about it. But we're driving by, and there's some workers for the city, and they're gardeners. They're on the side of the road there, just cutting things and mowing. As we drive by, we just yelled something at them. You know, it's probably like Jesus is Lord or whatever. But I mean, here they are, just, you know, doing their work, and people drive by, you know, 50 miles an hour, and just yell. You know, I don't know what. What was that, the humanity of Jesus? You know? But we released our spirit. But the humanity of Jesus, it says, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. It's good to be released. It's good to exercise. It's good in this room, right? Call on the Lord loudly, strongly in your house. But sometimes we just, you think that shouting, did that help them receive the Lord? These crazy guys. They sound like the other guys from the fraternity who, right, who come by on Friday night and they're not filled with the Spirit. Yeah, they're filled with other spirits. So without the proper humanity, you see, it may sound the same. It may sound the same. We may sound the same as other people who are doing other things because we don't have the humanity of Jesus. So anyway, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. He's such a wonderful one. Tender. Tender. Then in B, throughout all the opposition, the Lord was meek. And throughout all the rejection, he was lowly in heart, submitting himself fully to the will of his Father. So this is the wonderful humanity in the fine flower. B, with the humanity of Jesus as the fine flower, there is the oil as the Spirit anointing, mingling with, and saturating him. So we see this wonderful humanity of Jesus, the meal offering. It's not only fine flour. Right? Do you realize that? The humanity that God needs is not only fine flour. The humanity he needs is fine flour mingled with oil. That means every day you need to get mingled with oil. You need to have the Spirit of God. Every morning revival is another opportunity to be mingled with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Every morning you need to get the fresh oil in the Word, right? Prayer reading is the way we can enjoy the Spirit in the Word. And who is the Spirit? The Spirit is just God reaching man. Did you know this? In the Bible, whenever it says the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit, it's God reaching man. That when God wants to reach man, he comes as the Spirit. So the Spirit is just God reaching man to be mingled and anointed with man. Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit. This is his essence. Then he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Within and without are the Spirit. Christ was led by the Spirit. We saw that. Led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Christ was in the power of the Spirit
And Christ was full of the Spirit. In Matthew 12, 28, we see this phrase. He was full of the Spirit. Everything he did in his ministry was done in the Spirit. Isn't that good? You know what it says in Matthew 12? This is a really good verse. I have to tell you. He says, "But if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." You know what this shows? This shows that the Lord did everything by someone else. He says, by the Spirit. Yeah, he didn't cast out demons by himself. Say, oh, he's the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants. But he cast out demons by the Spirit of God. He cast them out by another one. And how did he? And what did he do it for? For the kingdom of God. That's for the Father. So what you see is a beautiful picture of the divine Trinity. The Son does everything by the Spirit for the Father's kingdom. Isn't this sweet? This is the humanity of Jesus. Always by the Spirit, by the Spirit. Continue to exercise your Spirit, right? Even in your human life, in the little things you do, studying, right, going to class, oh Lord, Lord, more Spirit. Lord, even in calculus 3, Lord, I want more Spirit in this class. Why not? Why not? Ask the Lord for more Spirit, right? Be led by the Spirit, right? Be full of the Spirit. This means that you're wet. When people touch you, oh, they should get wet with the Spirit, right? One of the brothers said, we should put a sign on us, right? Wet paint. Wet paint, yeah. Every time you touch us, you just get paint. You get the anointing. The all-inclusive compound Spirit, right? You just touch me and you get wet. This is what it is to enjoy the meal offering. Now, finally, in the last few points, see, in typology, the frankincense in the meal offering signifies the fragrance of Christ in his resurrection. For the Lord Jesus to live in resurrection meant that he denied himself and his natural life, and he lived not himself, but the Father. We might have a concept of resurrection. Oh, resurrection means I'm powerful. But you know what resurrection means in this point? Resurrection means to deny yourself. You know how to be in resurrection? Just deny yourself. Resurrection is just what's not natural. If it's natural, it's not resurrection. If it's not natural, it's resurrection. It's that simple. The Lord lived a life of resurrection, meaning he denied himself. He didn't speak his own words in one, but the Father's words. This indicates that he rejected his natural life and lived by the life of the Father. In his most tested hour, Jesus would not accept any protection, but cared instead for the suffering ones. This is not anything natural. This is the fragrance of his resurrection, right? He cut off the slave's ear, he put it back. He just took care of him, yeah. And he said, let them go. He just took care of everyone. And here was a situation of death, right? They're going to arrest him, take him and judge him, put him on the cross. And he's just living in resurrection. You say, where's Jesus? He says, I am. They all fell down. He said, where's Jesus? I am. He's just in resurrection. Yeah. This is the fragrance of his resurrection. Even as he's going into a death situation, he's just so fragrant. You know, the frankincense is fragrant, sweet, restful, and peaceful. Yeah, these are the four words describe the fragrance of resurrection. Fragrant, sweet, restful, and peaceful. When you enjoy Christ's humanity, this is how you become. Even in a death situation, even in a difficult situation, you will just have a fragrant response. Just so sweet. You'll just be at rest. You'll just be peaceful. This is the Lord Jesus. Then, letter D, the salt in the meal offering refers to the death of Christ, to the cross, Regardless of what kind of situation or circumstance he was in, he was always under the killing in his actions and words. Instead of allowing him to be himself to be exalted, the Lord Jesus was salted. What do you like, brothers and sisters? Exalted or salted? Exalted or salted? In John 12, it's so clear here. And again, I think Brother Craig mentioned these verses. Right before John 12, 24, which is one of your delicious memory verses. It's really interesting. You can start in verse 19. You could just put it down, 19 to 24. In 19, it has this phrase, the Pharisees. The Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's the background of this chapter. He had just done that in chapter 11, right? So then what happened? In 19, it says this. The Pharisees said to one another, "Behold, the world has gone after him." The world has gone after him. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Everybody wanted to see this one who had raised someone from the dead. The world has gone after him. And then what happens? Some come up to the disciples. Yeah. In verse 20, there were some Greeks. They came to Philip. Yeah, and they said, "We want to see Jesus too." The world has gone after him, said the Pharisees. The Greeks are coming. Philip came, told Andrew. Andrew came, and they told Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, this is it, man. We're going to be exalted. You're going to get your kingdom in Jerusalem, and we're going to reign with you." Really? And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." They're getting excited. Yeah, it sounds good, Jesus. Let me tell you how I get glorified. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." This is the salting. This is in the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus never cares for being exalted. When all the people wanted to see him, he went to another city. When everybody wants to see him, he falls into the ground and dies. This is the Lord. We can't do this. We want to enjoy that. We want to enjoy the glory. But the Lord Jesus preferred to fall as a grain of wheat into the ground and die, that he might produce many grains for the church. Two, the crucified Christ is a Christ who does nothing to save himself. No matter how much he was challenged, the Lord Jesus remained on the cross, doing nothing to save himself. They said, "Come on, Jesus, if you're God, get down from there." He saved himself. Sorry, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. That's exactly right. If he saved himself, he could not save others. What if the Lord came down from the cross? Where would we be? If he saved himself, he wouldn't have saved us. But he didn't save himself so that he could save us. This is the humanity of Jesus. Don't you love it? Isn't it sweet? Right? The fine flour, the oil, the frankincense, and the salt all mingle together in one wonderful person. Now, Roman numeral 2, as portrayed in the four Gospels, Christ lived a life in his humanity, mingled with his divinity, and expressing resurrection out from his sufferings. Our Christian life should be a duplication, a Xerox copy of Christ's life. And we'll see this more tomorrow night. If we imitate Christ, we will fail. We must simply feed upon him as the meal offering. Oh, brothers and sisters, feed upon him as the meal offering. I hope in these messages, as you see more of the details of this wonderful person, it would just stir up your appetite. You would just want to eat him more. You would just want to read the Bible. You would just want to pray, read the Word, right? To take this one in, right? Take him in. Simply feed upon him. The humanity of Jesus revealed in the four Gospels can be our food. If day by day we eat Christ as the meal offering, eventually we will become Christ. It is this kind of life which is adequate to serve God in the priesthood. So, I just give you a final word. When you see Christ's humanity, you could have one of three responses. What's your response tonight? Number one, some of you may respond in this way. Oh, wow, look at this God-man. Man, he's so awesome. Fine, balanced, even, perfect, full of the Spirit. All right, I'm going to do it. So those who are strong, we see his life. Oh, okay, amen. I shouted last week. I shouted at the brother's house. I'm not going to shout anymore. Yeah, amen. Try to do it. Amen, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me from shouting. I don't want anybody to hear me on the street. When we drive by the bus stops, yeah, no, we can't do that anymore. Amen. So we may try to do it. We may try to imitate. You see it? You say, I'm going to do it. If you take this way, what will happen? You'll fail. You'll fail. Then, number two, you may say, oh my goodness, he's such a perfect God, man. Forget about it. I have no chance. I'm a failure. Yeah, I'm not even going to try. Some try. They're strong. Think he can do it. It lasts for a little while. Oh, yeah, he was so fine. Oh, yeah. After the meeting, yeah, I'm going to be fine. Yeah, fine. I talk to the brothers and sisters. Yeah, even tone. Won't get too excited. Yeah, you try it. It doesn't last too long. And or you say, oh, forget it. Yeah, no chance. I'm a failure. I'm throwing the towel. No hope for me. So I hope you would have neither of these responses. Number three, what should we do? Open to the Lord. Eat him more. Eat Jesus. When you see him, just eat him. As you read the Bible and you're touched with a verse, just pray over it. Just say, Lord, this is not me. Lord, this is you. And Lord, you are for me. Lord, you just want me to take you in. Just eat him more. Enjoy him more. Right? Feast on him more. Then you will become his duplication. So, how about let's do this? I know it's a little late, but maybe we could still have a few minutes for your response.